January 22nd, 2007. It's the Lullabot Podcast.
Lullabot Podcast.
Hi, everybody. Jeff Robbins, and I'm here with my good friend
Matt Westgate,
and we're actually in the same room, which is sort of a rarity on the podcast. Matt is out here. We're in Providence, Rhode Island for the Lullabot workshops that we just finished last week. How'd that go?
It went great. Nobody threw anything at us.
Very few Rotten Tomatoes, a few paper airplanes.
Yeah.
No, it was a huge success. We sold out. We're planning the next round of Lullabot workshops will be, I think we're saying the second week in April, back in Providence again. It's a hit.
Giving the people what they want.
Yep.
Advanced theming.
And advanced, Drupal API, which in itself is sort of advanced. So that's like module building and stuff like that. And so we should have some new descriptions and ability for people to sign up for those on lullabot.com pretty darn soon.
Imagine it'll sell out pretty quickly.
we can always imagine.
Well, this is one of the things that people have been asking for quite a while, these classes. So, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good sort of logical next step for people, and definitely for people who want to start learning. So you've been using Drupal, but you want to kind of find out what's happening behind the scenes, and you know, if you're sort of feel like you have some capability for at the theming level, but want to sort of figure out those advanced tricks.
Yeah, and it's hands-on, and that's what most of the people tend to like about it is, you know, they can go there and make the mistakes and know that a Lullabot is safely watching over them and guiding them as they go.
It's like some sort of guardian angel. Yeah, well, actually, yeah, that's what we the best feedback that we got from the week was that people were really enjoying that we set up everyone has their own little sandbox kind of thing where they can work, so. But this week on the podcast, we've got an interview with Karen Stevenson, the magical Karen Stevenson, who's come in out of nowhere and done some really amazing work in the Drupal community with, particularly with the CCK, package of modules and, all kinds of stuff. Just really cool stuff. It seems like a new surprise from her every couple of weeks. So we've got that interview. And also, I should say, I have forgotten to mention in the past few podcasts, if people have questions, if you have follow-up questions for Karen or questions about any stuff, give us a call. You can call 877-LULLABOT. That's a toll-free call from anywhere in the U.S. and Canada. You can also dial that on Skype and Gizmo and all those VoIP systems. For usually pretty darn cheap the rest of the world. That would be +1-877-585-5226, which on the little keypad things translates to Lullabot, 877-Lullabot. And, or send us an email. We would always prefer to hear your voice, and we could put you on the podcast, but you can also send an email to podcast@lullabot.com. And you have anything else to add, Matt?
I don't.
Well, then we'll just get right into the interview with Karen Stevenson. Here it is. Karen, tell me a little bit about yourself. First of all, where are you from?
Okay. Well, I live in Normal, Illinois. I always get a kick out of that because everybody says, you can't believe there's really a place called Normal, but there is. Right in the middle of Illinois, central Illinois. I'm actually still kind of at the point where I'm not sure I call myself a developer, but I guess I am because I've become one. But my history is actually I'm a CPA, if you can believe that.
Wow.
I spent 20 years as a CPA, but it was a CPA who always loved computers and was always doing all the computer stuff everywhere I went. And eventually I decided to launch out into this.
That's very cool.
I have my own website. I started a website of my own back in 1994 when the web was very, very new. And I, you know, there was nothing that you could use to write HTML or anything like that. I mean, it was just get out a notepad and type it up because there was nothing.
Yeah.
So I had taught myself HTML and put a web page up and started getting email from all over the world and said, hey, this is pretty cool.
Yeah, that was back when, like, there was the new web page of the day page, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Like, there were so few that you could say things like that, yes.
Right.
Yeah. And when I say web page, I mean web page.
Right.
It wasn't a site, it was a page.
Yeah. Wow, cool.
But it was a lot of fun, and it was kind of my introduction, and my field is been long-term care and elder care and all that kind of stuff. And so I thought, well, I'll put up a web page about this. Mm-hmm. And it was the only one on the subject for probably 8 years.
Wow.
So it's become very highly ranked. Google, you type in elder care, I've been at the top of the list forever.
Wow.
So cool. It's really funny.
Huh. So you're a CPA. That's amazing.
Yeah. You weren't expecting that,
well,
were you?
I'm a musician, so I don't know how I got into this either.
We all come from different places.
I
went from one nerd extreme to another, though.
Well, believe me, music is more nerdy than it's given credit for a lot. A lot of that posturing is just covering up, you know, intrinsic nerdiness. So, but
I'm proud to be a nerd. I don't care.
So, wow. So, how did you get involved in Drupal, and how long have you been doing Drupal development?
So, basically, what happened was, I had this website which had kind of developed, and I finally decided I was going to work on it full time and started doing that. And that was about the time when the big .com thing started happening.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was looking for the next big .com idea. And like I said, I've got a high profile site in my topic. And so I started getting all these contacts from people, and we went out and started to try and do a lot of developing and all that kind of stuff. And it didn't go anywhere. Our timing was lousy. It was right just before everything imploded.
Right.
But in the process, they rewrote my website in PHP. And so then the company disbanded, and we lost all our, you know, we ran out of money and all that kind of stuff. And so here I am with my new website all done up in PHP, and I had to learn PHP so that I could maintain it. And it basically was a kind of a homegrown CMS that had been developed for us. So I learned PHP, and in the process, I completely rewrote it. So I had my own little homegrown CMS. And then I started finding other people that wanted CMSs. So I was writing them little homegrown CMSs out of what I had using PHP. And finally, one day I said, you know, this is nuts. You know, I'm writing the whole thing from scratch. There's got to be a better solution. So I started kind of digging around to see what open source CMS programs were out there. And I kept coming across Drupal. Say, boy, this looks really interesting, but it looks complicated, you know, and I go look at other things, and then I come back to it, and I kept coming back to it saying, boy, you know, this is complicated, but I think it might be worth figuring out. So I finally did. I finally took the plunge and jumped in, and that was about a year ago, and I've been working on it ever since.
Wow. Yeah, I think a lot of people, I mean, that was sort of my experience as well. I definitely came to it and left and came back. Because sometimes it's just sort of the early stages of looking at Drupal. It's not as pretty as some of the other options, not as maybe widely used as some of the other options and stuff like that. But when you kind of start to get under the hood of it, it gets exciting.
Yeah, and boy, I'm not sorry. It was definitely the right decision, but I think what you do is you go back and forth because you know you're going to have to make an investment of time and everything else, and you want to decide, is it going to be worth doing that?
Yeah, right.
You know, you got to get to the point where you're comfortable enough. You say, yeah, it's going to be worth figuring this out. And I finally got there. And
cool.
It was. It was definitely worth figuring out.
Well, you seem to have really figured it out. So if you just started a year ago, I mean, that's an incredible, just I'm amazed at what you've done in a year. So currently, let me see if I've got this straight. You are the current maintainer of the content construction kit.
Co-maintainer, yeah.
Yeah, co-maintainer. And you've also written some stuff, sort of adjunct stuff to the CCK, like the date field, right?
And the date module, and yeah, several views things,
and the and calendar, which is calendar, sort of interrelated to both of those, to
right
views
location and views and event views. I did the views implementations for the location module and the event module.
Oh wow!
And I did something called views calc, which I always wanted to get back to, and I never have had time to get back and work on it. I'm trying to make views and just, you know, make views kind of spreadsheet like.
Oh, right.
You know, add calculations and things. And so I did views calc. And then I've got something called PHP JetView, which is actually a genealogy program. And I wanted to integrate it into Drupal. So I ended up doing that. And it's just an integration.
Wow. So you do this all for the Elder website? Or are you doing these for other things
I
or for fun?
For,
or are you,
for everything. Are you, yeah, my Elder website, unfortunately, is sort of getting neglected these days because I'm doing all kinds of other things. And I'm working with clients, and, you know, I keep getting contacted from all kinds of people who want, you know, various things that are close to what I'm doing. And I always figure, you know, what the heck? I mean, it's stuff I'm interested in, too, and it'd be interesting to see if I can do it, and I love a challenge.
So, are you doing freelance? Drupal?
I'm doing freelance. Yeah,
Drupal work
these days. I'm doing Drupal work now. Ah. Yep, I've become a real Drupaler.
You got sucked in.
I got sucked in.
You
yes.
just can't turn away. Wow, that's cool.
But it's fun. I'm having a ball, and I love the platform. I love the community around it. It's been great.
Well, I'm really curious to know. There's been some major changes with CCK for the new version of Drupal, which has the beginnings of CCK at the core now, right? So
yeah,
Drupal 5, you can
create your own
content types, and you can change what the title is called and what the body is called, all that right in core.
Mm-hmm.
And then mm-hmm. CCK actually just becomes like a collection of fields and sort of the gook to actually get it into the node, right? So you can add fields on the fly and
Basically the main difference between CCK in 4.7 and 5.0 is in 4.7 we created custom fields and put created custom content types and put fields in them and left all the other content types alone. And in 5.0 Core has taken over the job of creating custom content types, and CCK now can put custom fields on any content type.
That's amazing.
Not just the ones it creates. And, you know, that's one of the most exciting things about 5.0 is, and I don't think we've even begun to see the beginning of that. That's going to be so powerful.
Yeah.
When people start realizing that they can take any node that they've, you know, any content type that they've got, and stick whatever other fields on it that they need. You know, I want a page, but I need a couple more fields on it.
Yeah, I mean, I've been talking about it with people, we start to realize, like, all these things, it's like, well, the whole concept behind a lot of these sort of node API-based things starts to sort of fade away, doesn't it? Like, the way that the event module used to work, or I guess still does work technically, that it sort of added an event, you know, like kind of event information in the node API. But now you can actually get even more granular by adding like a date start, a date end. But maybe if it's something like, you know, where there's this different curtain call time than the actual time when people actually – you know, when the show actually starts, you could have three dates for things or other, you know, and start to get very specific.
You can get very, very granular. You can, you know, whatever you can put a node reference field on there to attach that event to something else, you know.
It's part of a series or something. Yeah.
Attach it to the people that are going to it, or you can attach it to the other related events or whatever you want to attach it to.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah,
it's just mind-boggling what you can do with it.
Yeah, there seems to be a lot of this sort of these, what I call the meta modules, you know, these modules that sort of, at first people don't quite understand what they do because it's not nearly as straightforward as something like, I don't know, the blog module or,
right.
you know, maybe the audio module or something where it's like, oh, well, you take and upload an audio file and then that's your audio node.
Yep.
And, but these, it just starts to get very abstracted. And so sometimes, but what you start to realize as you kind of run your fingers through them is that you've got these really interesting, this really interesting palette to play with that you can really kind of create your own stuff really quickly.
Well, and there's a lot of development going on of all these new kinds of CCK fields, you know, and now instead of having an audio node, maybe you'll be able to have an audio field that you stick on any kind of a node.
Right.
And, you know, a views field that you can stick on any node. And,
yeah.
You know, all these other kinds
right.
of things.
Right.
Well,
then it starts to get recursive, which is very.
the
universe turns
problem.
Inside.
That's a problem
out.
For the developers.
Well, but it's, yeah, it's just fascinating where you can
it is.
Start
it
attaching
is.
Lists of things to individual nodes, lists of other nodes to individual nodes. And, oh, it's great. Really neat. What do you have going on in the back of your mind, or what are the things that you're hoping to work on? We were talking a little bit.
Well, I tell you some of the really interesting things that are going on. There's been a lot of discussion going on about things like repeat dates.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
the ability to put repeating dates into something, and in with the views calendar and the date module, can we put those together and then somehow or other, you know, work all this into a really flexible, customized kind of way of managing events. And so anyway, one of the things that I'm working on now, I've been wanting to do it, in fact, I'm kind of working on it this weekend, is add the ability, the date field right now makes a single field. And you can put two date fields on a content type, but they don't have any relation to each other. You know, there's no way for anybody to know that one's a start date and one's an end date. They
right.
could be two completely unrelated dates.
Right.
So we needed to add something in there that has that from to characteristic to it. So what I wanted to do was add a two date capability to the date field, which is what I'm working on right now. And then with the fact that all CCK fields have the ability to be multiple fields.
Mm-hmm.
So what I wanted to do, and all of us that are kind of involved in this area of events and repeats and all that kind of thing have been talking about this, is then set up a way that if you wanted to do a repeating event, it becomes multiple to from dates on a single node, as opposed to lots of different nodes.
Oh.
And they all stay together. It's a single node. It's got a single date. It's got a single description. It's got a single location, you know, whatever, whatever those things are that are the same, but all the different dates. And CCK dates are all, all have identities and views, which means you can put each individual CCK date into a view. So you can plug those into a views calendar and have them all show up as individual dates, but it's just one node.
Wow, that's a whole different approach than
completely different approach
than Chad Phillips took when he wrote the date repeat module
right.
or the event
right.
repeat module, which
yeah,
basically just sort of cloned a whole bunch of nodes to stick on the calendar everywhere.
Right.
And the problem, I mean, the problems with that were, well, you know, first of all, if you had infinite dates, you would have infinite number of nodes, and that wasn't
right.
That wasn't very fun. And then trying to keep them linked together. And so if you changed the title for one, would it change the title for all of them? And
right,
being able
right.
to delete all of them at once and things like that. I know we're...
And just having something that really makes it easy to see that they all belong together.
Right.
Which is hard. You
right,
know?
Right. And then you start to get into the whole thing of coming up with the rules for how often do they repeat. Is it every other...
Yeah.
Every other
yeah, that's
Thursday?
A whole- That's a whole ball of wax.
The
yeah.
third Thursday of November every year? How does that
and
work?
And then whatever kind of goofy thing you come up with, you also still need exceptions.
Right.
Because it's every other Thursday except for this Thursday and that Thursday, because those are holidays and we're going to switch to Wednesday on those weeks. And,
right. Yeah.
And all that kind of thing.
Well, good luck with that.
I'm not even worried. I'm not doing the repeat part. Sean Fuller is working on the event repeat module. And what we're talking about is the idea of him making that into an API that could be used by anything.
Wow.
So he does the logic. Therefore, I don't have to.
Very cool.
And all I have to do basically is say, here's what I want. And then he gives me back, the API gives me back some dates. And then I plug them in as multiple dates.
Cool.
Wow, so it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. So that, I think that'll be real interesting. And there have been a lot of people asking about that. So yeah. I think there's some interest in it.
Well, I mean, there's sort of the kind of second level tier stuff of Drupal functionality, and some of them get a little kind of hazy in their strength. Image handling is sometimes mm-hmm. not as optimal as it could be. Event handling is one thing that's been historically it's kind of there. Location handling is another thing that. And these are all, it seems like you've got a hand in a lot of these, and it's really great to see them moving forward.
Yeah. And a lot of them belong together. I mean, events usually have locations.
Oh, yeah.
all those kind of
events. Yeah, for a long time, I was but it's interesting that you can kind of put them together like Lego pieces, that you can kind of pick and choose. That the first site that I built in Drupal has become this great example kind of thing of the sort of Lego building stuff that you can do with Drupal, where I took just a regular node type, and I event enabled it, and I location enabled it, and I e-commerce enabled it as a product. And what I ended up with was a workshop event that I could sell. It had a price and it had a location and it had a time that it started and stopped, and you could search for it by, by distance from you. You could search for it by, on a calendar and all the e-commerce stuff. And I mean, that's the stuff where it's like, Drupal's really, really powerful.
I love the way that it's been architected, because you can do things like that.
Yeah, plug these things in, and the modules really are truly modular and can make major differences. So I've heard through the grapevine that there are plans for like CCK 2.0 on the horizon, and I'm sort of curious as to like what kinds of things that might look like.
I am not sure. I'm not sure that we know exactly, except that we've been, the CCK, I'm sure you've been tracking it, but it's really, really changed a lot in the last year. It's gone through several database schema changes and all kinds of things, and been through a lot of different kinds of changes. And so one of the things that we want to do is really get that database schema cleaned up and settled on, and there may be a point where we need to say we're going to quit supporting all those early versions of CCK
mm-hmm.
that are still hanging around out there, because it's getting harder and harder for us to do that and draw some kind of a line in the sand and
meaning,
say, okay, going forward we're going to have because
meaning providing an upgrade
updating.
Path.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we can't keep updating that database.
So the database schema
through all
like,
those schemas. Yeah, the schemas have changed so many times.
Right. Initially, if I remember correctly, it was like every field was in a separate table, and it was a whole lot of joins. And then at some point, someone realized that was horribly inefficient. And now it actually creates new columns and stuff like that, and it's actually very efficient.
It's really interesting, and it's a little bit of a screwy setup when you first look at it, because actually there's two different ways that the fields can be set up. If you have a field that exists only in one content type, then that's exactly how it shows up. You've got a table for that content type, and you've got a column for each of your fields, and kind of the way you would normally expect things to show up. But if you have a field that has multiple values, or you share that field between databases, which is also a very interesting thing that you can do with CCK, which is also very powerful. But if you're sharing that, then that field makes its own table. So you have some fields that are in their own tables and some fields that are in their content type table. So it's a little confusing to look at, but it actually works pretty well.
What's an example of how you would want to share a field between different content types, and how that would be powerful.
Well, for instance, what you could do is, let's say you had a couple of different content types, and one was an organization record, and one was an individual contact record, and maybe two or three other things, and these are all different content types that have phone numbers in them. So now you have a phone number field, but you want to share the phone number field between all these different content types. Now you have a single database that has all your phone numbers in it. And you can, in Views then, search through that that one field and all the different content types to find a phone number, for
right,
instance.
Right,
right. As opposed
to
searching through all...
And so it's recognized as a phone number and as the same phone number from the... in sort of internally,
you can give that field. So that's one reason. Another reason would be you set the field up and give it characteristics, and then all the content types will share. At least some of those characteristics get shared between all the different content types. So you don't have basically copies of that field in various places. If it's really the same thing, you can share it
right
as a single entity.
Right, right.
So it's kind of interesting. It's an unusual way to set things up, but I think it does work pretty well. So
yeah, there's been some interesting changes committed recently with CCK as well, right? I mean, just like in
yes. Actually, a bunch of real. There's been a lot of activity. Jeff Eaton's been one of them. He provided something that people have been asking for a long time, which is a way to identify which fields you want to show up in the teaser and which fields you want to show up in the body, and those kinds of things.
Yeah, that was a thing that was sort of frustrating for me initially when I started using CCK, and was the reason that I wrote the Contemplate module.
Right.
But of course, using that module, which is called either Content Template or Contemplate, depending on
I'm
feeling at any given moment, it's essentially really analogous to doing the theming layer of things. So, I mean, you really have to muck around with some PHP, and it's not necessarily for the light of heart, but you know, it's not as easy as just checking
anybody
the box.
Who's afraid of PHP is gonna
be a
little nervous. Yeah,
I mean, it's powerful, it's really cool to see this stuff starting to get into CCK, where it in a much more user friendly way.
Well, one of the reasons why it took so long to come about was trying to figure out how you really fit that in to the UI, and there's different ways you could do it, and a lot of them were kind of confusing, and different things had been proposed at various times, and I think it was a combination of we've reached a point where the database had kind of settled down, all the changes to the schemas and everything had settled in, and then Jeff came up with something that was, I thought, you know, a pretty slick way of doing it without getting things looking too confusing. So.
Cool.
So that worked out nice.
Yeah, I mean, that's oftentimes the hardest part is coming up with the UI, you know.
Yeah, everybody knows what they want, but where are you going to fit it in there?
Right, exactly. A lot of people in the issue queue saying, you ought to do this. It's like, yeah, yep. Where? How? You know, well, what's it look like? How do we make it
different? And I don't mind at all, because I'm glad that people are excited about CCK, but, you know, we've got like 8 pages of feature requests on the CCK issue queue.
Send us some pictures at least.
And we're in there all the time, you know, working away, trying to knock that issue queue down, and the next day there'll be another whole page of feature requests out there.
Could you people at least jot something down on a napkin or something?
but people are also trying to come up with ways to do a lot of these things. So
it's great.
But other things that are interesting, another recent change that some people who aren't using the current version of CCK may not realize is we finally cleaned up a lot of things about the way that you handle the weights. You know, fields have weights, and it was confusing because people would say, you know, I don't understand why my fields aren't showing up where I thought they were. You know, the title's in the middle of the page, and, you know, my fields aren't where they aren't where they're supposed to be, mm-hmm. anything like that. And we finally came up with a way that you can look at that on the manage field screen now shows you where your fields are going to fit into the page. It shows you where the title's going to be, where the body's going to be if you've got a body, where your fields are going to hit. And then the field group module that Fago wrote has been incorporated in now as the part of the CCK. So if you've got a complicated complicated content type with a lot of different fields on it, which some of us do, you can group them into, you know, into logical groups and organize your form, which is really nice. And then you can give your weights groups and, you know, so there's a lot of things you can do to control exactly where things are going to show up.
Right.
And so that really helps a lot.
Cool. Yeah, I have this like fantasy in my head, and who knows, maybe it will, maybe this will happen eventually. And again, this is just goes back to that same issue. It's like, okay, but what will it look like and how will it work? But eventually it would be really great to have sort of like drag and drop support for these
things. I would love that. In fact, I think I even posted this, and I said, if somebody wants to write this, I will run to review it.
Yeah.
I would love to see that.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, just to, but you know, you could have like some, again, it's what the UI is like, you know, how does it work? What are you dragging to where and what's it doing?
Yep.
And how do you edit it and stuff like
and
that?
And that's a big table, and doing drag and drop. I don't even know if you can do drag and drop into a table. Most of them are usually simple lists. And
exactly. Yeah.
So it may not be doable, or it certainly isn't necessarily easily doable, but it would be very cool.
Yeah. And then of course the other thing is right to make it work in a degradable way as well.
Exactly. I think the interesting thing there is the current method is the, you know, works
right
without any JavaScript.
So you could always just make another tab.
So somehow or other, we can use that. I think our hope maybe we can use that
and you have the advantage of not being part of core part of core Drupal, and just to explain to people what that means who might not know, when core Drupal is what you download when you go to drupal.org and you click on Drupal to download Drupal. That's Drupal. That's core Drupal. That's the sort of included, highly supported, highly vetted, tested, looked at, examined modules. Very stable, very solid stuff. Also, the other side of them being so stable and solid is that it's really hard to sort of get new features in and sort of do experimental stuff with the stuff that's in core. And so, CCP.
Yeah, I'm really glad that we're not at this point, because it does really stimulate a lot of experimentation, and sometimes that's the only way you find the ways to get these things done, is to just sort of open the door and say, try whatever.
Yeah. See, but it's definitely, I mean, for people that don't know about CCK, you have to use this thing. It's awesome.
it's pretty. The other thing that I think is interesting, I remember, because when I started with Drupal a year ago, it was just, they were just getting ready to do the upgrade to 4.7. I think it was the release candidate wasn't out yet.
There was
period. It was about that point, yeah.
There was a long period of just about to go to 4.7.
Yeah, right. That incorporates a lot of territory,
yeah,
I understand.
It does. You could listen to a lot of the early Lullabot podcasts and we'll say, any day now, I'm really feeling it, and I think it's going to be any day now.
I'm pretty sure. But what happened was, that was the point where I was starting. Well, I'd already decided that I was going to go ahead and develop in 4.7, because it was crazy to come in new and try and figure out 4.6 and then switch everything.
Right.
You know, so obviously that made sense. I'm gonna do 4.7. Well, 4.7 at that point, FlexiNode was sort of not. I mean, there wasn't much of FlexiNode available, and there wasn't much of CCK working either. I mean, they were both kind of really, really raw.
Right.
And so it was kind of toss a hat into the air and decide which way to go, and CCK, you know, looked like it had the potential to be the future. So anyway, what ended up happening was I kind of dove into CCK, and it wasn't ready, so I just started making patches.
That's great. I love it when people say that. And it wasn't quite ready, and so I said, this is a lame-ass CMS, and I went off to go use something else.
So I tried to do what I could.
Scratch your own itch. That's great.
That's right. Another thing that's interesting in the 5.0 version of CCK that people may not be aware of is there's now some import-export capability. Now, this is not importing or exporting data. This is importing and exporting the field and content definitions. But this is really interesting because, for instance, if you spend a lot of time developing a very complicated form and you got lots of fields and you've got them grouped and you've carefully gotten, you know, figured out all your descriptions and all your defaults and all the various things, you know, it can take a while to get all that stuff set up if you're doing a really complicated form. And now you want to copy that into another content type or another database, you know, somehow or other share it with somebody else without doing the whole thing from scratch. Well, there wasn't any way to do that before. Right. And now we have, it actually, I mean, I'm not afraid to copy from the masters. So I just I took it right off of what Views was doing because that's pretty darn nice the way they do import and export.
Yeah, that's great.
I like that. I like Girl's method there.
It's so the great thing about open source.
Yeah, I'll steal anything. I don't care. So we've created something like that, and you can export your field and content type definitions, and then you can import them, and you can do it all different kinds of ways. You can actually export only some of the you can select fields and groups to export, and just export, you know, like a section of your form and paste it into another content type, or you can export the whole thing and create a new content type in the same database,
wow.
Or you can export the whole thing and plug it into another database.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about this. So one of the things that's increasingly becoming you know, as much as we're gaining by all of this, you know, the ability of the administrators to manipulate the data and the structures of nodes and all this kind of stuff in ways that in the past they would have had to do through programming.
Right.
Now they don't need to do it through programming. But on the other hand, that manipulation, the changes don't exist as code, and they exist only in the database. So
right.
in the past, there were tools like rsync and the various sort of CVS, version control, SVN kinds of things that would allow you to sync up, like, let's say you had a staging server and a live server, you know, and you wanted to create a new modification to your site and then push it out to the live site. You could use some of those tools for that. But now that things are in the database, there's not really any tools for that are sort of friendly for Drupal. So at its minimum, this idea of being able to sort of export the structure, the CCK type itself, the fields, and import them into your live site is really a great step forward. I mean, it's not quite as there yet. I mean, I guess eventually, you know, some way to sort of push things out to the main server. Is all of this anything that you've done any thinking about, or?
I hadn't thought about that particular application. Actually, what I've been thinking mostly about was a lot of people talking about trying to develop distributions.
Yeah.
And use this as something that they can use to
right.
pre-configure a distribution and have it all set up with all the forms and fields and everything ready to go, and then just give it to somebody.
Yeah, that sort of node types that people can download. Because, I mean, this last workshop that we did was essentially using CCK and Views and a few other modules to build a Drupal CRM, a Drupal-based contact relationship manager. But, of course, how do you, you know, once we spend all this time sort of creating the contact node type.
How do you replicate it?
How do you say, oh, yeah, here you go. You know, and give it off to someone else because, you know, there wasn't really a way to do that. I guess now,
right, exactly.
Now there is more or less. But
right.
there's other pieces lots of times, you know, that need to be configured. The views need to be configured.
Right.
The CCK fields need to be configured. And then if you're using things like Jeff Eaton's got those new modules for custom links and custom breadcrumbs and
right.
And stuff like that, that, you know, you can really start to gain your own custom functionality, but it's not like a module that you can just, you know, install on your other server. So
right.
this is a problem that's going to need to be solved. And we're taking steps forward. I'm really glad that CCK finally has an import export. K capability.
Well, I think it's a beginning anyway,
yeah,
of getting to the point of making it easier for people to, you know, share what they've come up with.
Yeah, yeah, totally. I mean, it's becoming just there's it's such a powerful, it's almost like a programming language of its own to just be able to,
yeah,
configure your CCK.
And we found another really interesting use of it, and it's the same thing that I think Earl is seeing with Vue's, and that is it's kind of a nice debugging tool because somebody writes in and they say, you know, I got my SQL errors, you know, blah, 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 blah. And we used to have to say, okay, tell us everything you've got installed. And, of course, nobody ever gives you the right answer because they don't understand the question.
Right.
And now we can just say, you know, if they're on 5, we just say export a copy of the content type. So then we can see all the fields.
And
we
it's
can
text.
See what all, every yep. We
it's
can
text,
see everything
so
that they've got set
their...
up. They just paste it into the issue, and we can see exactly what they've got set up. It's way, way easier.
Wow.
It's already saved us a lot of time on support.
That's very cool.
It's nice. I should say, by the way, on CCK, now we talk about me being a co-maintainer, but I tell you, Whitehead, or... he has a real name, but you know, since I've never met him or spoken to him,
this is, we were talking
or
about this.
Pronounce his name.
It's all these people who you have like a lot of contact with, and none of it is verbal contact.
Right, right. I've never heard him say his name, so I don't know the right way to say it. So I'm afraid I'd butcher it. He's Whitehead to me. But he has been, you know, just a madman. On CCK. He's been just crazy. Just fixing things and patching things and dealing with the issues.
Whitehead, yes. And of course, I'm looking at his profile and I'm not even sure I would know how to... My French is just an abomination,
I won't even attempt. I would try it, but I'm just sure I'd butcher it, so I don't want to try either.
Well, maybe someone can call in and give us the correct pronunciation.
But anyway, he's really done a lot of work. He's done a huge amount of work on this.
Cool.
He did like 200 commits over one weekend.
Whoa.
When we were getting ready to push a release out. He was going through, and of course there's lots and lots of files in CCK. You know,
right.
There's dozens of files in CCK. And he was going through every one of them, cleaning up line endings and all kinds of various things. And getting it all nice and tidy for our release.
Nice. So, what are the other things that are sort of interesting and exciting to you about Drupal or CCK or any of these things that you're working on or sort of have in the back of your head to work on? It seems like you've become a very well-rounded Drupal developer in a very short period of time. It's not like you've just picked one thing and you do have hyper-focused on that, but you have all these things that you create a sort of holistic, well-rounded development, you know, profile, I guess.
Well, a lot of view stuff. Like I said, I did location views and use calc and both of them had a lot of other things I wanted to do with them, which I haven't had time to get back and do. But one of the things, for instance, location views, it's not quite working yet in 5.0, but the combination was to take location views in the location module, obviously, in the GMAP module, which is the Google Maps. And we put them together, and we got the ability to do a view that has an exposed filter, where the exposed filter is the map. And you click on the map to as a center point that you want to search from, and then it does distance from that point. Yeah, I had that working. It was working on my demo site, except now GMAP is not working on 5.0 yet, so I haven't got my demo site upgraded to get it back there again. But it's very cool, and it sorts them all by distance and added a distance field, so you can see the distance from that point that you clicked on, and
that's bizarre.
So we haven't even scratched the surface yet.
Wow.
All kinds of things.
That's
and like
very
I said,
cool.
Views calc, I got some basic
I hope everybody
additions
understands.
And traction kinds addition, I mean, I guess.
I hope everyone understands what we're talking about with this views location views stuff. That basically what you're saying is you have a map that's showing. It's a Google Map map, right? And you can drag it around and stuff. And you change your location. You just click on an area of that map, and you'll immediately get a new... Well, or whenever you choose to, you would get
when you submit. You have to actually hit the submit. Click on the map to make your center point. Then you click the submit, and it updates your view from that center point.
Stuff that's nearby,
whatever you've set up in your view that you're listing. It changes the listing to start sorting from whatever that new center point is.
Do you think that the location module will eventually just become a CCK field type? That there will be sort of location?
Actually, I think there would make a lot of sense for that. Anchor just changed that to where people have been asking for a long time for multiple, the ability to put multiple locations on the same node, which he just got added in his latest version. And that's really great, but you still have some limitation because, they go together and they go, one spot on the form. But, if you want like two locations in two different places or you want different things like that, you still don't have quite that much flexibility. So, yeah, I was actually just thinking the next thing to do probably would be do a location CCK field that is basically a little implementation of the location API, and you plug it wherever you want to, use as many as you want to. And the changes that he made do... allow for multiple locations probably will help make that easier to do.
Right.
So, yeah, definitely.
That's really neat stuff. Yeah. And all that, you start to get into all that sort of mashup-y kinds of things with that. Where you
Every single thing that I've done, none of them is a standalone module. Every one of them is using something that other people have developed, and I want to really emphasize that I couldn't have done any of the things I did if other people hadn't done all these great things to build off of. I mean, Views is fantastic. I love that module.
Yeah.
Earl is my hero.
I think he's a lot of people's hero. It's truly, yeah. And that's also, I know that Earl has said that same thing about the power of not being in core. That a lot of people have talked about putting Views in core. And although I think it would be maybe a little bit easier for people coming to Drupal because people talk about all the power of Drupal and, wow, you can do all these amazing things, and then they download core and it's like, yeah, I can make a blog. Uh-huh.
They don't quite get right away that there's all this other stuff you can do.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing would be, a really logical maybe basic distribution, now that we're talking about distributions and putting distribution packages together, a really basic distribution would be Drupal core and Views and CCK and maybe a couple other things.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what else, but that'd be your really powerful package to give to somebody.
What should we call it? Drupal Gold.
Drupal, that's cool.
It kind of also harkens back to the early Netscape releases.
Yeah. I don't know. Yes, that'd be interesting.
And also, sort of sounds like an album by an ABBA album, maybe.
It does. And what happens if you play it backwards?
I don't know. Maybe it makes all of your data go away. So. Well, it's
It would be interesting to do that.
Yeah. No, definitely. Distributions. Although there's been a lot of talk about it, I think as people start to put together their own distributions or think about maintaining distributions, they quickly realize that they're potentially looking at a major maintenance issue.
Yeah.
Things together. But for things like CCK and Views that are so widely used, they are practically core. Style. Right. They're core style modules, in that they've got a lot of people using them, a lot of people working on them, and stuff like that. So I could see definitely sort of sticking some of these things together and making something neat like that. That'd be very cool.
It could be interesting.
I think it could be very interesting. And a little pre-configured something. We'll see. Well, Karen, thank you so much for talking to me.
Thanks for asking me. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. And telling people about all the great work you've been doing. We'll keep an eye out for more.
Well, work. And I'm hoping. Do you know what word's going on with DrupalCon? Do we know?
What's the story up with DrupalCon? You know, I think I might even have it. I sort of caught wind. This is how these things. This is the downside of open source. Is sort of no one ever actually standing up and saying, "Hey,
somebody's got to do it."
Yeah. My understanding is that it's happening March 22nd and 23rd at Yahoo in Sunnyvale, California.
Very cool.
And 22nd and 23rd, yeah, is what I hear. That's what I hear. That's the latest. There's a website. Okay. Yep. It is. The website is www.oscms-summit.org. And that has information about this conference that's happening at Yahoo and 22nd, 23rd, 2007, right after South by Southwest. And go there and find out more information about it. And we'll get Karen to come out and everyone can shower her with gifts.
I don't need anybody to shower me with gifts. I just want to meet people.
Oh, okay. Well, shower her with your presence. Or just go up and talk to her because she'd love to meet you.
That's fine.
Cool. Well, great. Well, thank you so much, Karen.
Thanks.
And definitely keep us posted about what are the other things that are happening, and we'll get you on here again. And then when the CCK 2.0 comes out, 2.5,
okay,
6.1, whatever the next big CCK
is. Whenever this is, yes.
All right. Well, thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks.
Take care.
Bye-bye.